Welcome to the AMD GPU Daily for April 23, 2026. I'm your host, and we have a packed show today covering AMD's newest flagship CPU, a bittersweet moment for ROCm on Ubuntu, and some wild industry news involving SpaceX and GPUs. Our top stories: the Ryzen 9 9950X 3D2 Dual Edition gets a deep dive workload breakdown from Forenix, Ubuntu 26.04 launches with ROCm support that's already 6 months out of date, and SpaceX's IPO filing reveals plans to manufacture their own GPUs. Joining me as always is our resident hardware analyst. Let's get into it.
Thanks. Let's start with the big CPU story, because I think Michael Larabelle over at Forenix has done something really valuable here. He's cut through a lot of the noise around the Ryzen 9 9950X 3D2.
Right, because there's been some pushback from commentators saying the 9950X 3D2 Dual Edition isn't competitive or interesting at its $899 price point. But Forenix ran over 300 benchmarks on this thing, and the picture is more nuanced than the critics suggest.
Exactly. And to be clear for listeners who may have missed the launch, the X3D2 designation means this is a dual 3D V-cache configuration on a single AM5 socket processor. That extra cache is what drives a lot of these workload-specific wins.
So let's walk through the headline numbers. Overall geometric mean across all 300-plus benchmarks puts the 9950X3D2 about 10% faster than the existing Ryzen 9 9950X and 9950X3D models. That's a meaningful but not earth-shattering generational leap.
And that 10% average is actually hiding some really dramatic wins in specific domains. The one that jumped out at me immediately was Fortran workloads. The 9950X3D2 was a whopping 36% faster than the 9950X3D in that category, which is huge for scientific computing.
That's significant because Fortran is still absolutely alive and kicking in high-performance computing, think climate modeling, structural engineering, astrophysics simulations. The benchmarks mentioned include Compact 3D, SpecFem 3D, Cloverleaf, PETSC, and NWCAM. These are real-world HPC codes.
And what's interesting is that Intel Arrow Lake apparently held a lead in Fortran workloads until this chip came along. So the 9950X3D2 has effectively closed that gap and then some.
Let's talk about the code compilation numbers, because that's probably the most relatable workload for a lot of our listeners, developers who are building large open-source projects.
For compilation workloads, things like building the Linux kernel, LLVM, Python, Rust's Wasmer, GDB, Eigen, the 9950X3D2 came in about 7% faster than the 9950X3D. That might not sound huge, but if you're running CI/CD pipelines that compile from scratch hundreds of times a day, those minutes add up to real money.
And Forenix makes a really compelling economic argument here. If you're a developer or open-source maintainer who can't justify the cost of a Threadripper workstation or an EPYC server, both of which also require expensive platform costs and ECC-registered memory, the 9950X3D2 at $899 on an existing AM5 board is genuinely attractive.
Especially if you already own an AM5 platform running Ryzen 7000 series hardware. You're looking at a straight socket drop-in upgrade with potentially dramatic workflow improvements for technical workloads.
The HPC numbers are also strong. 12% faster than the 9950X3D in the broader HPC category, covering molecular dynamics codes like NAMD and GROMAX, computational fluid dynamics with OpenFOAM, and OpenMPI parallel workloads.
For molecular dynamics specifically, Forenix called it out as a standout category. And for anyone doing drug discovery research or material science on a budget, this is the fastest desktop CPU you can buy under $1,000 for those workloads right now.
Machine learning inference on the CPU also showed about 10% gains, with some benchmarks being even higher. We're talking about ONNX, OpenVINO, Whisper.cpp, Llama.cpp, and PyTorch inference workloads.
That's increasingly relevant as people run local LLM inference. The larger cache on the 9950X3D2 really helps here because these models have enormous working sets and cache pressure is a real bottleneck.
There was also a fun chess engine benchmark, 23% faster than the 9950X for El Chero and Stockfish. Not exactly a critical enterprise workload, but it's a proxy for highly optimized search and tree traversal algorithms.
And then there's the AVX 512 angle, which I think is underappreciated in mainstream coverage. The entire Ryzen 9000 series has AVX 512, and Intel's Core Ultra Series 2, Arrow Lake, does not. For any software that leverages AVX 512, and that list is growing fast, AMD has a structural advantage right now.
Forenix noted it's a landslide win for Ryzen 9000 when looking at the geometric mean of AVX 512 capable workloads. Intel is counting on Nova Lake and its AVX 10.2 implementation to answer that, but that's still on the horizon.
The server workload benchmarks round out the picture, about 5% better than the 9950X for Node.js, PHP, PostgreSQL, Memcached, ClickHouse, and CockroachDB. For someone running a Soho server or Edge deployment, this could be a legitimate EPYC alternative at a fraction of the total platform cost.
Bottom line on the 9950X 3D2, if your workloads are in the general consumer space, gaming, or light productivity, probably hard to justify $899. But if you're a developer, researcher, or technical computing hobbyist, this chip punches well above its weight class.
Now let's pivot to our second story, which has a distinctly mixed flavor. Ubuntu 26.04 LTS launched today, and with it comes something the community has wanted for a long time.
The headline is genuinely exciting. You can now type sudo apt install rock on a fresh Ubuntu 26.04 system and it will actually work. No more fighting with AMD's unofficial package archives, no more manual dependency resolution. That's a real quality of life win for AMD GPU compute users.
And to appreciate how significant this is, remember that getting ROCm set up historically has been one of the biggest pain points for people wanting to use AMD GPUs for machine learning or HPC on Linux. The installation process was finicky, the documentation was inconsistent, and it often felt like ROCm was a second-class citizen compared to CUDA on Debian-based systems.
So Canonical and AMD deserve credit for getting this into the Ubuntu 26.04 archive. The collaboration was announced last year and they actually delivered it on launch day. That's not nothing.
But, and this is a significant but, the version of ROCm that shipped in the Ubuntu 26.04 archive is ROCm 7.1, which released back in October of last year. 6 months ago.
And in ROCm terms, 6 months is a long time. ROCm 7.2 came out in January. ROCm 7.2.1 in March. ROCm 7.2.2 earlier this month. So on day one of Ubuntu 26.04, you're already 3 releases behind.
And these aren't just minor bug fix releases. ROCm 7.2.x includes improved hardware support, meaning newer AMD GPU architectures may have better or more complete support in the newer versions. Shipping 7.1 could mean some users aren't getting optimal performance or full feature support for their hardware.
Forenix's conclusion is pragmatic but a little deflating. For now, AMD Radeon and Instinct users on Ubuntu should still use AMD's official installation instructions and their own package repositories to stay current with ROCm.
Which somewhat undermines the whole value proposition of having ROCm in the Ubuntu archive in the first place. The appeal of distro packaging is that it just works and stays maintained. If users still need to track AMD's external repos to get current versions, the Ubuntu packages become redundant.
The deeper concern is whether Canonical has the bandwidth and commitment to keep these ROCm packages rigorously updated, especially given how frequently AMD has been releasing new versions. ROCm is a complex, fast-moving stack.
It's worth noting this is a very common tension in Linux packaging. Distros want stability, upstream projects want to ship frequently. ROCm is probably an extreme case given how actively it's being developed to compete with CUDA.
Ubuntu 26.04 is an LTS release, which means it's supposed to be supported for 5 years. If ROCm in that archive stagnates at 7.1 or only gets infrequent updates, that's going to be a problem as the hardware landscape evolves.
The right model here might be something like what Canonical does with certain snaps or what other distributions do with FlatHub, maintaining a separate, more rapidly updated channel for software that moves as fast as ROCm does.
For now, call it a glass half full situation. The infrastructure is there, the intent is right, and getting our OCM into apt at all is a meaningful step. But the follow-through on keeping it current will determine whether this is actually useful long-term.
Let's move to our third story, which is technically not an AMD story but has significant implications for the GPU competitive landscape. SpaceX has filed a confidential S-1 IPO document, reportedly at a $1.75 trillion valuation, and it includes plans to manufacture their own GPUs.
This comes from Reuters, which reviewed excerpts from the S-1 filing. SpaceX cites the lack of long-term supply agreements with chip suppliers as a risk, and lists manufacturing their own GPUs as a reason for substantial capital expenditures going forward.
There's a lot of nuance here that's worth unpacking. First, the naming convention question. When SpaceX says GPUs, it's genuinely unclear whether they mean traditional graphics processing units or AI accelerators that they're calling GPUs in the same way Elon Musk referred to Tesla's AI5 chip as a GPU, even though it has no traditional graphics pipeline.
Musk's own quote about the AI5 is illuminating here. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, "We deleted the legacy GPU from AI4, but AI5 basically is a GPU." Which is not how most hardware engineers would describe an AI ASIC.
Right, and this is actually a broader industry naming problem. AMD and NVIDIA call their AI accelerators GPUs. Google calls theirs TPUs. Microsoft uses the term accelerators. Sambanova calls them RDUs. SpaceX may just be using GPU as a generic term for high-throughput compute silicon.
This ties into the broader Terafab announcement that apparently broke the day before Musk confirmed SpaceX will build and operate its own semiconductor manufacturing facility using Intel's 14A process node, producing silicon designed at Tesla.
Which is an enormous undertaking. Semiconductor manufacturing is extraordinarily capital-intensive and technically demanding. Even well-funded efforts from established players have stumbled. The idea that SpaceX can bootstrap a meaningful GPU fab from scratch is, to put it charitably, ambitious.
The Tom's Hardware comments section was predictably chaotic, but one commenter made a reasonable point: these chips, whatever they end up being, would almost certainly be for SpaceX's internal needs, AI for Starlink ground stations, robotics compute for Optimus, autonomous driving for Tesla, inference for xAI's Grok. Not consumer desktop GPUs.
From AMD's perspective specifically, the question is whether SpaceX's internal silicon development could eventually displace AMD Instinct purchases that xAI or Tesla might otherwise be making. That's a longer-term competitive consideration.
For now, it's very much a believe-it-when-we-see-it situation. SpaceX is not AMD's most immediate competitive concern, but it's another data point in the trend of hyperscalers and large tech companies wanting to control their own silicon destiny, a trend that does, over time, put pressure on GPU vendors.
The broader irony is that AMD and NVIDIA are both named in the Tom's Hardware piece as companies whose AI accelerator SpaceX's in-house chips would theoretically compete with. AMD has made enormous investments in ROCm and Instinct to compete in the AI training and inference market. If major customers start designing around you, that's a real headwind.
Before we wrap up, a quick mention of a story from the NVIDIA blog that caught my eye. NVIDIA is rolling out OpenAI's GPT-5.5 powered codecs internally to over 10,000 employees running on GB200 NVL72 systems. This isn't an AMD story directly, but it illustrates the scale of the AI infrastructure build-out happening right now.
And it's a reminder of where AMD needs to compete. Those GB200 NVL72 racks are the current gold standard for frontier model inference. AMD's MI350 and the forthcoming MI400 series are the answer, but the ROCm software story we discussed earlier needs to be airtight for AMD to win those deployments.
Also worth noting, Ubuntu 26.04 launched today alongside these NVIDIA OpenAI developments. The timing underscores how critical a polished, up-to-date ROCm packaging story is for AMD to remain competitive in the Linux AI compute space where so much of this workload runs.
The 9950X 3D2 story and the ROCm Ubuntu story are actually two sides of the same coin. AMD has compelling hardware and increasingly capable software, but the ecosystem polish needs to keep pace with the hardware ambition.
Well said. Looking ahead, all eyes will be on AMD's ROCm packaging cadence for Ubuntu 26.04. If Canonical and AMD can get 7.2.2 into the archive in the near term, that would go a long way toward building confidence in this collaboration. And for the 9950X3D2, we'll be watching for broader adoption benchmarks from the developer community and whether that $899 price point holds as Intel responds with Nova Lake. That's all for the AMD GPU Daily on April 23, 2026. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.